Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. When we read the story of Christ's temptation in the wilderness, we realize that in some sense we are witnessing a cosmic battle. Here we have the Prince of Peace against the Prince of Darkness. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness after his baptism, signifying that this is, in some sense, a divine appointment. And after 40 days of fasting, the devil came to him to tempt him. Of course, the temptations that he faced are beyond anything that we will ever face. After all, none of us could turn stones into bread, but we might presume that Jesus could if he were willing. But on another level, we might recognize that the temptations which Jesus experienced have a certain affinity with the temptations that we all face. In fact, the French philosopher Jacques Ellul argued that these three temptations are the sum of the temptations that man can encounter. If this is true, then we might look at these temptations and work our way backwards to better understand the human condition. In other words, if the devil sought to derail Christ with these three temptations, then it is quite likely that he had discovered over time that these were the most effective assaults against his previous victims. Of course, the whole purpose in this exploration is threefold. First, we will come to better recognize the wiles of the devil. Secondly, we will better understand our own points of weakness. And thirdly, by listening to our Savior's responses, we will be better equipped to face similar temptations. On this last point, it is worth noting that Jesus teaches us by example here that the proper answer to the devil's temptations are found in the Word of God. We know this because he directly quotes the book of Deuteronomy in each of his three replies to Satan. Let us mark this truth well and use this season of Lent to grow in our knowledge of Scripture so that we might be better prepared for battle. The first temptation that Jesus faces is where the devil says, "If you really are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." The reference to Jesus being the Son of God flows from his baptism, where he was just told, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." We see here that this was a calculated assault, because we're told that at this point Jesus had fasted for 40 days and was hungry. The devil always comes to tempt us when we are at our weakest moment. But Jesus perceives that he has been sent on this mission by his Father, and he is not willing to cut it short, even to satisfy a very real need. Jesus responds by saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." By saying this, Jesus reveals that beyond the material need of food, man has a deeper and more necessary spiritual need, namely the spiritual food that God gives us through his word. We are in danger when we place material needs above spiritual needs. It is when we seek out our material needs in a way that is contrary to what God teaches us in his word that we are cut off from our greater spiritual fulfillment. On the contrary, Jesus teaches us elsewhere that if we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all our material needs will be met. The second temptation happened when the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, to the pinnacle of the temple, and told him to prove himself by throwing himself down to demonstrate God's promise from Psalm 91 that he would give his angels charge over his people and that he would not let them come to harm. Once again, Jesus responds by quoting Scripture, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." This temptation included a sensational element since it would have taken place in a very prominent public place and in front of the very people that Jesus came to gather. It's all about proving that he is the Son of God. It certainly seems at first sight that it would have been much more effective than the way that Jesus' ministry would end, crucified between two thieves. But what would that have accomplished? Certainly not the salvation of the world. If he were to follow the devil's temptation here, it would have meant glory for him, but damnation for us. This has all the signs of a spiritual shortcut. The idea that the ends justify the means. How often are we tempted to follow this path? As the children of God, we are called to entrust ourselves to God's fatherly care. We're certainly not to put God to the test with our foolish actions. There are no spiritual shortcuts in the Christian life. The Christian life is the way of the cross. Jesus, after all, told us, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Finally, we have the temptation where the devil takes Jesus up on a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. The devil promises to give them all to Jesus if he will just bow down and worship him. Jesus responds, saying, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The devil offers Jesus power, the power to rule. But if you read between the lines here, it will be a subservient power. In other words, he will have to subjugate himself to Satan to acquire this power. He will have to switch his allegiance from his father to the devil. But just think of all he would be spared if he were to do this. However, Jesus is having none of it. He tells us elsewhere, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus did attain to a position of power, but it was granted to him by his Father at the end of his mission. He has now been exalted to the right hand of the Father and has been given the name that is above all other names. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus teaches us not to pursue worldly power because there is always a cost in doing so. We cannot sell our souls to the devil for momentary power. Rather, we are to submit ourselves in service to God and to our neighbor. And if we do this, on the last day we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and we will receive a crown that will never fade in God's kingdom. Beloved, as we travel on this 40-day journey through Lent, let us learn to recognize the wiles of the devil. Let us learn our own points of weakness. And may we learn to cast ourselves upon God and his word to help us through these temptations so that we can experience the glory of the eternal kingdom and life everlasting. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.